Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast for the week of the 14th. I'm with SearchDataManagement.com, and my colleague Ed Burns is with me. He is from SearchBusinessAnalytics.com. Ed recently spent some time covering the Spark Summit, and Spark is sort of come out of the dark, and I'd like to, if you could give us a sense of what it's about, why we should care. What is it?
Well, it is a little bit hard to explain exactly what it is. Still working on that myself, but basically it's an API layer that sits on top of a data store. One reason why people like it is because it can sit on top of a NoSQL database, a Hadoop cluster, a relational database, a web data store. So there's a lot of flexibility there. And then on top of that, you can run several different applications for data processing, data analysis. It comes with a SQL query engine that you can use to query data in all those different databases, which a lot of people seem to like. Could replace the myriad different programming languages that people use for that sort of thing. It comes with a library of machine learning algorithms that can just automatically be applied to the data in these different data stores. It can handle streaming data, even for data that's going into a Hadoop cluster, can process it in a streaming manner, which is something that Hadoop obviously could not do before. So there are a lot of reasons why people are getting excited about it. It sort of solves a number of the problems that data management analytics professionals are facing in terms of the whole galaxy of, you know, applications and programs and programming languages that they need to know. Sort of brings it all together, puts it in one place, and just gives them one thing to learn.
And it came out of Berkeley?
It did, in fact, yep.
And it's an in-memory format?
That's right. When you start talking about the streaming data processing applications and the machine learning analytics side of it, it runs in-memory. And so therein lies both the good and the bad with Spark. People these days are very interested in in-memory technologies because of how quickly it can process jobs. But also we're hearing a lot about how in-memory can tend to be somewhat unstable. And so a lot of users are finding that halfway through a job, there may be a failure, and then they have to start all over again. And obviously, when we're talking about enterprise use, this is a pretty significant problem, because if you're running some sort of application that is at all mission critical, then you need to have the confidence that it will run to completion. Now, Spark does have a means of dealing with this. It's called the Resilient Distributed Dataset. And basically, it's just a framework that distributes jobs across several nodes. And so if the in-memory application in any one node fails, another one picks up the slack. Right now, it's sort of unclear the degree to which this actually works. We've talked about how right now Spark has sort of a small user base. And so that's sort of the thing that I would want to see in production on a wide scale before I could confidently say, oh yeah, Spark has no problems with in-memory processing. But at this point, it's hard to point to the use cases that prove that.
Okay. And so it can run on Hadoop, but it doesn't have to run on Hadoop.
Doesn't have to run on Hadoop, no. That's one of the things that people like about it. You know, like I was saying, you can use it to work on data in a NoSQL database. People at the summit were really excited. It apparently plays really well with Cassandra. It just brings everything together into one platform. And, you know, that's something that we've been hearing a lot lately, is something that users really want. You know, it wasn't that long ago, I think it was in May, you and I were at the MIT CIO Symposium, and we heard a few speakers talking about how they're getting kind of tired of having to have separate databases for batch processing and streaming jobs and different applications for visualizing data compared to performing some sort of predictive analytics. And it just seems like for every single data management or analytics job that organizations have, they need to have a different tool, and they need to learn that tool, and they're just getting sort of fed up with it. And so at least the promise here with Spark is that there's just one thing to learn.
And I had a sense that there's these Java operators that run through the API, and that mere mortals are more likely to be able to program with this environment.
Exactly. That's one of the main benefits, is that it puts everything into a relatively easy to comprehend language for programmers, so they don't have to learn all these other languages that are out there for storing data and processing data and analyzing data. They can just use whatever language is most familiar to them. And it seems like it's an open source project, so the programmers who are building out the whole thing are working on expanding the universe of languages that can handle even at that. One of the big things that they announced at the summit is that they're working on an R interface. So all those data scientists out there who have become familiar with that programming language will have one more option.
Well, I guess a concern would be that we've had so many, the greatest thing since sliced bread, elements to come along, and I wonder sometimes how much capacity there is to absorb all these new software. Are there companies that are behind this particularly?
Well, yeah. The main vendor behind Spark is a company called Databricks. A couple of the guys who founded that company are some of the bigger contributors to the code behind Spark, and they're continuing to work on that. They've also worked out a few deals where Spark is going to be packaged up with other software. At the summit, they announced what sounded like a pretty big deal with SAP, and the deal basically puts Spark into the SAP HANA database. It's also really big. Any company that is working with any of the major Hadoop vendors and basically already has Spark, whether or not they're using it, that's a different story. But Spark has been packaged with the Hadoop distributions from Cloudera, Hortonworks, MapR, IBM, all the major Hadoop distributions. So it sounds like there are not very many users of Spark out there right now, but just judging from the number of deals that that have been struck to get Spark onto these other software packages, it sounds like there are a lot of potential users right now.
Well, I appreciate getting your point of view on this, and I'm glad that you're covering it for searchbusinessanalytics.com, and we're kind of keeping an eye on Spark as well on the searchdatamanagement.com end of the boat. So I guess I would close out and thank you, Ed, for giving us the rundown. I'd like to thank all the people for being with us for this episode of Talking Data.